Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, Mayo.
Get your motor running.
T-minus 30 seconds and counting.
You know, this used to be a hell of a good country. I can't understand what's going on with it.
Chaos.
T-minus 15.
Well, they're not scared of you. They're scared of what you represent.
10, 9, ignition sequence start.
What you represent to them is freedom.
We have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Good evening, Texas bikers and bikers all across the nation. This is Texas Biker Radio, number 294, and tonight our show is simply named Freedom. And my name is Mel Popeye Moss. I'll get it right, Mel Popeye Moss, and my co-host, Mel O.G. Robbins. We are with Sons of Liberty Riders, MC. And Mel,
are
I almost
we?
Forgot my name.
Damn, you left the house today, but you found your way back.
I did find my way back. And of course, we found our way back from the weekend. But we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. Mel, one thing I want to bring out, because we heard it yesterday. We heard talk of the FBI and why they kind of slow things down in their investigations during an election. And we heard that yesterday, that they more than likely wouldn't go after Abel Reyna until after the primaries, Mel. So they slow their investigation down purposely. I mean, do you think we would get that kind of break from the FBI?
Oh, hell no. They would, they would put you so far back they'd have to pump sunlight in. That's
exactly
what happens to the average citizen.
And, you know, everything we see going on across the country, including here in Waco, with the FBI investigations and everything else, I mean, these guys, they either manipulate, slow things down, don't investigate, make the investigations last years. But it shows you also what the two-tiered system is. As we've said many times before, laws for them and laws for us. Why in the hell should Abel Reyna be treated any different than the rest of us?
Because he's
because
part
he's
of the
politics.
Good old group. Yep.
But, yeah. Go ahead, finish it.
He's part of the good old boy group down there that's been in power for decades. And once you get in with that group, you pretty much got it made, because they are, I mean, they're so entrenched down there. They are to in your face about stuff.
Exactly, Mel. And now the FBI, I guess, now is gun shy, being as Robert Comey, was that his name? His first name? Anyway, when Comey threw his hat in the middle of the 2016 elections, and many think that he cost Hillary her election. He didn't cost her her election. She cost it. She's a poor campaigner. And plus, she's just corrupt as hell, like we see going on in McLennan County. I mean, except for just switch the parties. Just switch the parties. I mean, that's really what I got to say about it. Recognize, everybody, that there is a two-tier system out there. There's laws for them and laws for us. Just like Abel Reyna's campaign donors, the what we call the rich and well-connected, Hey, they're treated differently than the rest of us. Because I'll damn sure guarantee you, Mel, I wouldn't get out of a DWI ticket in Waco.
Well, hell, all they got to do, I mean, you know, again, it's kind of all about the money, too. If you want to contribute to Raina's little campaign fund, or his, I guess he also has a personal fund, why not? You know, enough cash passes hands between the person that's up on charges, their defense attorney, and the district attorney, who knows what can happen.
You know, and of course, there's always people behind the scenes that are writing checks to these candidates, people that really have no interest in running for office, but they need special favors. That goes on in both parties. That goes on in both parties, and regardless. It goes on. And, Mel, you know, I've been at this a long time. I've seen it. I have seen it up close and personal. Just like you talked about yesterday, that you had seen these CIs and in action and the way law enforcement treats them and does their thing with them. Of course, that video... I haven't created that one yet. That's going to be out probably tonight. I'll pull a late night shift. I've still got more to do on those. But it's incredible what we're seeing this day and time. you got anything you want to add to that?
No, it's just... To me, it is absolutely mind-boggling what is going on today. And, you know, a lot of people sit back and don't even vote because they figure, well, hell, doesn't matter. You know, my vote doesn't count. And that's probably the first place we go wrong because we should be following Senator Ted Cruz's advice, and that is, you know, concentrate on your local elections. If you get it right at the base and start building up towards the, you know, you start in your city and county and then your state. And if you get all those ducks lined up in a row, you start to build a base that has integrity. You get people voted in your local areas that do stuff right, and that base starts to build, and eventually you're able to take care of the big boys. But until you take care of your local area and get out there and vote, and as an old friend of ours used to talk about, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, I can't vote for the lesser of two evils. If I've got two evils there, I'm not going to vote at all because I can't vote either one in. Big mistake, because the minute you do that, the liberals win. I guarantee you, anytime someone comes up with that thought and philosophy and a whole bunch of people fail to vote because of that little scenario, the liberals will win every time because they're bringing in every vote they can out of the graveyard, across the border, you name it. If they can get it there, it'll vote. You have to, if you have what you perceive as a lesser of two evils, then you got to figure out which one is going to do the less damage until we can get a better candidate to run against them. And that's who you better vote for, because that's the only way things are going to get better. And it may get better only marginally election to election, but those points start to add up. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, Mel, sometimes I post stuff at all for one. I'm being facetious. And people take me serious, literally. So I guess I better start watching what I post. I said, Abel Reyna said the bikers better come talk to me. He was meaning the Bandidos and the Cossacks that were under indictment. I said, well, he must have gotten lonely since it's been over the last 1,000 days. Because that's about how long it's been since he said that. So nobody's really come to talk to him. And I said, well, I think he'd better come talk to us and hear something other than what he's been hearing or was told by the FBI or the DPS. You know, the truth never hurts hearing it from us. There's two sides to everything. Of course, I know he's not going to do that. There's no way he's going to have a dialogue with us. That's just not going to happen. That's not in him. Even us as veterans, he's not going to do that. I mean, that's how much of a coward he is. I mean, he's in hiding, and well, I guess it's tomorrow he has to come out of hiding again when he does that the next forum. I think that's with the women's club or something like that tomorrow night or tomorrow during the day. I'll find out what it is and get it out there. But people take me serious. I mean, you know. But I know he's not going to accept that. But if he wanted to have a dialogue, we'd certainly show up, huh?
That's right. We believe everyone has an equal right.
Hey, we've got points to get across. You know, the FBI and the DPS, they're not always the bastion of truth, are they?
Not lately. Their integrity went down in the swamp a long time ago, apparently. That's become readily apparent.
You know, I've always got something to say about those motorcycle assessment reports.
Yeah.
So those things, you can use those for toilet paper. That's about all they're worth. Because it's copy-paste from years back. It's what most of it is. It's really, there's really nothing new in there, and they struggle to make any motorcycle group a Tier 2 gang, as they call it. So, and we've got plenty to say about that. And the behavior of law enforcement and their criminals that they have among their ranks that end up getting caught, going to trial and going to jail. We like to call those outlaw public officials, and those they outnumber anything all the biker groups do put together. So go figure. I have. And apparently, Abel Reyna's office is unable to figure all this out. Or they don't want to figure it out. That would probably be the thing, right, Mel?
Well, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting when it was brought out that, you know, some of the moves Reyna's making, he's trying to a lot of people think he's trying to redeem himself, and to some extent, I'm sure that's part of the formula here. But the true issue is that Reyna is getting a lot of these cases dismissed, and he's recusing himself voluntarily in other cases to avoid his assistant being put on the stand as a witness to talk about the illicit and illegal procedures that go on in that district attorney's office, where there's favoritism and pick and choose who's going to get prosecuted and who isn't, irregardless of how guilty or innocent they are. So let's not forget that little fine point there, and we need to be talking about it publicly, because the public needs to be reminded of just what's going on with that scoundrel, and the fact that, you know, he's not just trying to save face, he's trying to save himself from severe, not only embarrassment, but possible prosecutable charges in the future if some of his ex-staff ever gets on the stand and is questioned about his policies and antics in that district attorney's office.
That's exactly right, Mel. Exactly right. You know, Mel, you know what I I've talked to a lot of people, lawyers, everybody else, you know, and I'm going, you know, hey, isn't what he's doing, isn't this obstruction of justice by a district attorney? I mean, that's the way I see it.
Well, you'd think.
But
we can't seem to get it past the judges, even up here in Dallas.
Well, who is it that makes this decision? The DA's office. Well, guess what? Well, what happens when it's the DA that's doing it? You're telling me that's not obstruction of justice? How in the hell can that be? I don't get it, but I'm going to keep going up the ladder until I find somebody that says, hey, you're right here. Or maybe it's just that our small antiquated minds are just not large enough to get the picture of the good old boys. I'm just saying. To me, that's obstruction of justice, and that's what I'm going to believe. And now we're going to get a chance to say all this stuff on February 25th in front of the courthouse in Wave 7, Freedom Rally. And, you know, it was a mention yesterday also. You know, hey, they were saying, hey, with, you know, the bikers, they'll get tired. You know, they'll go away. People forget about this stuff, everything else. Oh hell no.
Big mistake, Abel. Big mistake.
If he thinks that, he's got another thing coming, because we're going to be there until the damn last innocent biker is let go. We're going to keep hacking away at them and investigating the hell out of them. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to shut up. We're not going to go away. And if he thinks that, he's just oh so wrong. Just oh so wrong. We're going to encourage everybody to be there February 25th, 1 p.m., in front of the courthouse. It's a freedom rally. It's a constitutional rally.
I guess I ought to be calling the sheriff's office, huh?
Yeah. Well, I did post mail. Hello. Hello. Hello, Sheriff. We're coming to town. I did post that. So they probably already but we'll just give them a courtesy call.
I was going to say, do you think if I call him, he'll say I read the post?
I don't know that they would tell us that, but it would be interesting if they did.
Yeah.
We're going to get up there and we're going to be like, Moses, Mel, let my people go.
Yeah.
Yesterday, let's talk about Elmont for a minute. You know, I love the American Legion Post 121 in Elmont. Now, if you're going to join an American Legion Post, that's the one to join. That place is just so cool. And so are the people in it. and I forgot the commander's name, and man, what a place. It was interesting because we had Barry Johnson there, candidate for DA. He's willing to have a dialogue with us, unlike Abel Reyna. George Horsley, who's running for a judgeship, interesting guy, Mel. You want to talk about him for a second?
Yeah, he. Well, I'll start out, and you can finish it off.
Okay.
Yeah, real interesting guy in that. First of all, he's a patch holder as a booze fighter. He belongs to the Booze Fighter MC, most of you know that's probably actually they even predate the Hell's Angels. They go way back to the supposed riot in California, where they came up with their name in 1946 or 47.
46.
Okay. And
go ahead.
So, you know, he's a biker. So that means he's a biker friendly guy. Now, that doesn't mean that we go around looking for politicians that are just going to throw favors to the bikers. We're looking for politicians that are going to just play it straight. You know, we're not looking for a break. We just want to be treated properly within the Constitution, and that's what we're looking for. But this guy, you know, has watched what happened with Twin Peaks, and he would sit. It's a panel of judges, or I don't know how to word it exactly. I know you'll correct me on this, Popeye, but. They're like a bunch of commissioner judges that decide whether or not the county is going to award money, like to the district attorney's office, to keep going on with the Twin Peaks cases. And he said, you know, he may be the only one, if elected, that would vote no, but he would damn sure vote no that the district attorney get any more money to chase these cases on Twin Peaks. There's also involvement, I think, with property taxes, and the horror stories that we heard from McLennan County residents that have gotten their property taxes this year were just astounding. McLennan County, I feel really sorry for the citizens down there. I mean, you talk to most of them, they love living down there because I guess they love the environment and just, you know, the good old Texas folks down there. But, boy, they are mistreated like there is no tomorrow. Well, George Washington is the type of guy I sincerely believe. Now, he's a libertarian, so, you know, he's not going to appear on that ballot as a Republican or Democrat. And, you know, I think in all good conscience, you can't just vote party line all the time. You got to be looking for candidates that are going to be good. Good for the community. Good for the state. And I would say this is one time when you need to vote for a libertarian.
That is so true, Mel, because this guy, I mean, don't think because we said that he's a biker that he's some kind of dummy, because he is certainly not. This is an intelligent man that is seeing what's going on in this county, this country, and he has an opinion about it, and he wants to do something about it. You know, everything that's going on in McLennan County and around the country is maddening. Is maddening, and what we need is some good, honest people that will just do the right thing. And Mel, let me say this: you know how bad I can hose up the English language. But I seem to be the only one that can get George Horsley's name right. Because you did call him George Washington.
Well, that's what he said. I swear to you, that is what I heard. I thought that was so unique. But maybe I was still road battered from making that icy trip down from Dallas.
His name is
go to my grave swearing he said George Washington.
No, he said George. George. George Horsley, and of course Barry Johnson didn't get it right neither. He said George Horsley.
So we're all over the boards with this one.
But he's a good guy. He's a good guy, and people need to hear what he has to say. The citizens in McLean County need to hear what that man has to say. And then there was the person that came up last there. She's running for a county commissioner, precinct 4. Mel Priest is her name, and she had plenty to say too, Mel, talking about the things that are going on with the county commissioners. And Mel, I've said many times, some of the most corrupt people in the country are county commissioners and also school boards. They're corrupt as hell. You think? And just so happens in McLennan County, it seems they've got it in the commissioner's office, the commissioner's courts, and also the courthouse and the DA's office. They got a lot going on there, Mel. A whole lot. To hear this stuff. And what we're hearing, let's start talking about the trials for a minute and what's going on with these people that have had their charges dismissed and everything. We're hearing now that they are still having problems getting their properties back. I think there's an automobile, and Scooter Bergman said he's unable to get his stuff back. My question would be to that is why?
Well, I heard one party say that they couldn't locate some personal property, that it was apparently lost.
How convenient.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Notwithstanding, I'm not real sure if some of that statute, like when it comes to vehicles and other items that they confiscate, that you can't get them back unless you can prove they will never be used in a crime. Now, maybe I'm all wet here, but I swear to God I have heard that mentioned.
We will find out about that and let everybody know.
But I would certainly hope there is some liability on the part of whoever's in charge of the confiscated evidence or confiscated personal property, that if it isn't returned, they have to reimburse in kind what they've lost. There has to be some liability there.
I would think so or hope so. If not, we need to work on it in the state legislatures, in the next legislative session. I mean, they just can't do this stuff to people willy-nilly like they've done and then not return their properties. Nobody gave them, I don't think they have the right to sell it. And from what I understand, whatever bikes they have left, they've got them in containers. And if they're carbureted, you know how that goes, huh?
Yeah.
So that goes extra monies to to get those running again. So it's just it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. But we're going to be there at Wave 7. We're going to be talking to the citizens of McLean County. We're going to be talking about things that are going on, things we've learned. We'll be talking to the McLean County prospective jurors. So, you know, we got a lot going on in Wave 7. And, of course, February mail. I was looking at the weather out in front of us. I think the median temperature is going to be in the 50s if you kind of average it out. So as long as it's not like it was the other day. Oh, God. That was a heck of a ride down.
Maybe we should think about inviting the public the next time we run the good old ad in the Waco Tribune, too, to Wave 7.
Well, we can do that, too. Oh, yes. Yeah. Come up. You want to come up here and ask us a question? Come up and ask us a question. At least you're going to get an honest answer.
That's right.
Instead of what you're going to hear out of that courthouse or out of Abel Reyna's mouth. Because, Mel, according to him, he still believes he has a case over everyone. He's going to continue what it is he's been doing, which is really trying to convict the banditos. And I assume the Cossacks will be next instead of trying anybody that might be actually guilty of a crime.
No, they'll just invite the Cossacks to another shooting. That's all they'll do. But Abel is never going to admit he screwed up. Mm-hmm. He is never going to admit that. He will bluster and blow from now until the day he dies that he has the goods on all those bikers that were there at Twin Peaks. Now, there are factions of attorneys, police departments, law enforcement in general that are just blown away that a district attorney would come in and blow off the feds, tell them to go home. He's now in charge, telling the police department, hell no, you're not just going to arrest these 7 or 8 people and conduct a murder investigation. You're going to arrest all those people that were in the restaurant, too, and then make the comment to people on the scene that this case is going to make my career.
Yeah.
What kind of insanity is that? You're not dealing with a rational individual to begin with.
What you're dealing with there, Mel, is an arrogant prick. And he caught, he caught Waco Police Department with their pants down. The police chief was off vacationing and doing the hula, whatever it was he was doing.
That's true.
All he wanted to do, Mel.
Chief.
So he had. So he bamboozled the acting chief, or got the chief that was not on scene or available to just say, "Hey, yeah, go ahead and do it. I'm on vacation. Do whatever you got to do. Don't bug the hell out of me." The sheriff. I don't know what the sheriff was doing.
I mean, hell, you had DPS there even.
Yeah.
Why wasn't the county represented?
Well, I don't know if they came in after the fact, whether they were already there or what. I'm sure there's somebody out there that knows. The sheriff, that's an interesting question. What was the sheriff? But nobody had any common sense, Mel. It's like they said, they could see what was going on up there on at the front of the building. the things that Sandra Lynch was going through. I mean, they could witness all this, and you know, of course, they turn chicken and pull out their undercovers or CIs or whatever they were. They weren't inside, so maybe they didn't have the best of eyes on the situation, but they had eyes on it, and they could have taken some action and stopped everything right there, told everybody to go home.
Yep. They could have pulled into that parking lot with a bunch of squad cars, and you'd have seen all those Cossacks just evaporate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that one lady police officer that testified under oath. You know, well, I thought we were just supposed to let them fight it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They did that all right.
Yeah, in a public venue.
Yeah. And bullets flying everywhere. But now, you know, we have, with these trials, and, you know, the truth to everything comes out bit by bit by bit. We haven't even scratched the surface. I mean, not even scratch the surface. And I do believe they're going to get around to the COCI and what we're all about, or what it's all about. You know, you and I work in the U.S. Defenders, the legislative end of this thing.
Yep.
And we know what it's all about, and we'll be glad to tell anyone that's willing to listen. Because it's certainly not going to be what what Abel Reyna is going to describe when he gets around to it. So, as he says, they're dismissing these guys, and they're going to pay more attention to the hierarchy of the two groups. So, nothing changes when you do that. Because it's the same scenario. There are innocent people still under their There's still people under their hand, under their boot.
Yeah, they're
hands
holding
on their
a whole bunch of people hostage here.
Yeah.
You know, under the threat and umbrella of filing charges and indicting,
mm-hmm.
people are just, their lives are on hold. Those that haven't had their lives destroyed over pending charges to begin with, everyone else has their life literally on hold. They're in. The only way I could describe it is it has to be like purgatory. You know, you're somewhere
mm-hmm.
near hell waiting for judgment, not knowing what the hell's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And that is a horrible way to have to live, especially if you're trying to hold a job, raise a family, and get on with life.
Right. You know, that whole system, that whole courthouse operates under the threat, the fear factor. They want you to fear them. They want you to fear the law. They want you to fear coming to that city. If you're a biker.
Well, a lot of
and many people do, Mel. Go
yep.
ahead.
A lot of their strategy is plea bargain. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There are TV shows that you know, albeit they're fiction, but they talk about how they have figured out budgetarily it's a lot cheaper to plea bargain than to take people through a full trial. Attorneys have told me, for instance, the federal system is designed to not go to trial. And there's a hell of a lot of federal convictions that take place without a trial ever having taken place. It's just been hearings, and you're judged, you plead, and you're judged guilty, and then you're sentenced. And, you know, you're seeing more and more of that happen in the local courts, in your county and state courts, where they're plea bargaining. And that's what I'm sure Abel Reyna thought. He'd get a whole lot of plea bargaining going on. He'd get people folding right and left. And Scooter Bergman was a shock to their system, I'll tell you, because I think they were counting heavily on if they could get him to go, they knew they'd get others to go. And, you know, that's what they're doing. That's what they're counting on.
Right. You know, well, it's obvious that Abel Reyna and the people in that courthouse, they don't really know. They don't understand 1%. They don't understand MCs. They think they know because of what they've been told, like I said earlier, by the FBI, by the DPS, the law enforcement, people that have an interest in keeping it going. I mean, all they know.
Between law enforcement and Hollywood, they have so distorted the true meaning of what a one percenter is that, it's not even recognizable anymore. You're right. Nobody understands what a one percenter is. They think, if you're wearing a 1% patch, you're automatically some kind of a felon or criminal. And mute testimony would be down in Corpus Christi. You've got a full patch holder as a district attorney now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are attorneys that wear a 1% cut.
Right.
There are doctors. There are lots of professional people that wear a 1% cut. It's just ludicrous what in the hell they're trying to pull here. And, I think what I love is you get people like Jake Carrizal on the stand where the public can see what a bandito leader really looks like, how he talks, how he thinks, how he feels. And the guy came off like a gentle giant, a very humble human being that would stick up for his brothers to the death, not let anyone bring harm to his family without fighting, but yet just a real likable guy. He was in no way any kind of a criminal. And he's part of the leadership in the Bandidos. He's what, a chapter president?
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Exactly. Yes, he is.
And the public saw that. So, it's not a bad deal for the public to start seeing these guys so they can see what they're really like.
Exactly. Well, Scooter Bergman.
Put on
the
screen by Hollywood. Well, that's what's put on, not what's put on by the screen in Hollywood with Sons of Anarchy. And now, coming later this year, is going to be the Mayans, which is a spinoff of Sons of the Anarchy. So
you think they'll all be wearing white tennis shoes?
Yeah. Just saying. Well, there aren't going to be too many blondes in this one.
Yeah, right. So that lets us out on getting apart.
Yeah.
Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I believe they're going to move the location this time away from the Bay Area in California to the around the San Diego Mexican border area is where they're going to portray this, from what I've been able to tell. But, you know, once again, here you got something is going to be portrayed on TV, and, you know, well, you and I can sit and watch something like that and get a good laugh out of it. You've got grandmas and mothers sitting out there that are going to be horrified at what they're seeing, which is nothing but pure fiction.
You know, Mel, the clubs that are being mimicked by these people really ought to have a show that they do themselves that corrects everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, man, hey, tonight I'll get the George Horsley video out. Everybody needs to see that. Mel Priest also, I will get that out. And I'm also working on the videos that you and I did the other day for the people of McLennan County.
Cool.
And here in the next couple of days, I'll have all that stuff posted. But let's talk a little bit. We did before we went to Elmont, we went to Houston. Was a cool visit with the COCI there.
It was great. Great visiting those guys.
You know, a neat meeting place. I forget what the name of that place was, but man, that was cool. And of course, the COCI in Houston has it together. They have a great U.S. Defenders program. They're doing good work. And of course, I got
my hat goes off to that leadership down there. They have their act together.
Yeah, they do. And of course, I got a chance to speak, and I spoke to them about the next legislative session, getting ready for the 86th legislative session, which will be January 8th, 2019. And you know, the work for that starts now. And you know, as I've said, you want a motorcycle profiling bill here in the state of Texas. We've got to lay the groundwork. And that starts
now.
We
have a lot of work to do for that. We have a tremendous amount of work to do. Where they've had, I don't know, you know, they try to make it sound like it's been super easy to pass it in some of these states, and maybe, but I'll tell you, Texas is one hell of a challenge to get that bill going.
And let me tell you what doesn't help things, Mel. Is I think around the state of Texas, we over the past about 6 days, we've had about 5 cops murdered.
Yep, that's right.
That kind of thing makes it harder for us. It's not us doing it. We will point that out. That hey, it's not motorcyclists that are doing this kind of stuff. It is the public in general, domestic problems, druggies. I mean, the list goes on. Just crazy people that are murdering police officers, and you know, it's got to stop.
Because we
certainly don't. We go ahead.
We can't overcome that. We can't overcome it because the biggest handicap we're operating under is we have almost zero documentation of stops being made that were due to harassment or not handled properly, or they tried to search or harass. None of that's being documented, and until our brothers and sisters out there learn that they have to do this and they got to get it turned in, we're never going to get it on. Because without that documentation, videos would be primo. And without that, it's a tough show. And I like what the attorney in Houston, the AIM attorney in Houston, came up with. I like that a lot. In fact, I intend to start looking for it. He's talking about, you know, it's one of the most difficult things to do is to use your cell phone and take video when you've been stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's awkward. It can start to incite the cops, you know, get them all upset over nothing. Even though it's your right, it is your absolute right to record everything that's going on. You know, let's keep a calm head here and, you know, rationalize that what we're trying to do is get documentation of what's going on and not incite a riot. So, you know, the best thing to have is they've got these little button cameras now that I understand are potentially pretty cheap. You can go on the internet, you'll probably go to eBay and find something that's pretty cheap that you can clip on, and you can turn that puppy on when you've been stopped. Your hands are free, and it's recording everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to go. So
yeah, we'll have
we should check that out.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. We'll research that and let everybody know. That's for sure.
But we damn sure need your help with the documentation.
Exactly. Of course, there are other bills that we want to put before the state legislature. We want to take another run at the dead red light again. this will be our third time, but you never stop trying. This is what you do. This is the reason we say, you know, we will not stop, period. You've got to be hard-headed. You've got to keep coming back at them. You've got to keep working the public. You've got to get out and talk to people and fight the narrative, especially fight the narrative on outlaw motorcycle gangs or, you know, motorcycle clubs are not gangs. They're not street gangs. And we need to fight against that narrative. And we'll make some videos. We'll do some stuff here for you to get out there. So, you know, and this works by everybody using social media and share. Whatever you're using, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I know the kids are on a lot of different things, but that's the kids. We're not talking about kid stuff. Of course, we could be talking about kid stuff because the kids are sitting on their asses instead of getting out there and getting with it and getting on a motorcycle. So we need the motorcycle industry, we need to take care of them too. We need to train our children right way to be men and women of good character and also not sit at home on the damn computer all the time. I guarantee you, man, I got to get up from it.
Yep.
People think I sit in front of the computer all the time. No, I don't. Most of my stuff is done late at night, and I try and get it done as fast as possible.
And you're mostly editing videos.
I'm doing a lot of that. It takes time. So
yep.
It's just, but hey, I can... if I really want to, I can do one quick. Just take the raw footage and put it out there.
Let her rip.
That's right. Let it rip. And man, got anything else, man?
No, not really. I'm sure something will come to mind after we say goodnight. But. I'll tell you, there's a guy in this country I would not want to be. I would not want to be. Did you hear the news break on Fox earlier today where Trump Jr.'s wife opened an envelope that had a white powder substance?
Oh, really?
They immediately took her to the hospital, called in hazmat. There were some other staff people that were taken to the hospital. Now, they did determine that the powder was not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Secret Service and the FBI are involved, and God help whoever the flaming idiot was that decided to pull that little scenario. The envelope was addressed to Trump Jr., but his wife opened the envelope.
Let it, please let it be, what's her name, Whoopi Goldberg.
Right, right. Yeah.
Please say it was her.
You know, whoever idiot pulled a stunt like that is going to get exactly what they deserve when they track their ass down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't think of anything stupider to do.
All right, real quick, Mel, we'll go over some stuff here. CNN is prepping for dozens of layoffs. Huh. And they would maybe they're unable to sell their bullshit to everybody.
Right.
I see now where you're talking about Vanessa Trump, and then that whoever did that they're in serious trouble. Too much crap out there, you know. And let me tell everybody, Ted Cruz. We visited with him with one time. We also did a big rally that for Ted Cruz. There's 2,000 people there, and he basically said to us, you know, forget Washington D.C. It's screwed up. There's nothing we can really do about it, other than just go vote. And when you do go vote, you're voting for a candidate that's one of the two parties picked, and they're not worth a damn either. But you keep searching for honest people, and I believe we've found a few there in McLennan County. It remains to be seen, whether you can find an honest congressman or senator that won't, or they can start out honest, but they go up there and they get indoctrinated into the system, realize how much money there is to be made, and then all of a sudden they're one of them. And it's hard to keep them in the honest mode. So unless they're really filthy rich, and then maybe they just don't really care for the what's going on up there. But then again, there are people up there that are filthy rich that are all in on what's going on. That would be like Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and a whole host of others. Oh, and one more thing, Mel. The stock market goes up real high, people take profits. It goes back down. Now, it's also being pointed out that this Yellen gal that was appointed by Obama I think it's appointed by Obama. All they've got to do is mention interest rates are going up, and it drives the market down. Now, I wonder who handles her portfolio. Wonder who manages her portfolio.
I'll tell you, somebody needs to be in charge of the feds.
Yeah.
When I say the feds, I'm talking about that federal banking system.
Right.
Because they are untouchable, and the horrors they can perpetuate on the economy of this country are just unimaginable. And that is but a tip of the iceberg of what you just mentioned. They can drive the stock market by the mere statement that they're going to bump interest rates in the near future. And that will cause pandemonium in the stock market.
You know, Mel,
no controlling them.
Yeah, she's done that about four times.
Yep.
She's mentioned that, and each time the market goes down more. I think it may be time to fire that woman.
I don't know.
She shouldn't be. you know?
Can you fire that individual?
Well, I don't know. I would have a dancer have the FBI digging into her. How about that?
Yeah.
After all, remember
yep.
that thing I read to you about them? They're the ones that are supposed to be the looking into this type of outlaw public officials. They're the ones that are
yep.
supposed to be doing that.
We need to sick the hounds of hell on those people.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Oh, one other thing I want to bring up before we sign off here, and this is for bikers. We did post on both Sons of Liberty Riders MC public page and Texas Biker Radio / All for One community page the link to a website that if you have a Harley-Davidson, all you have to do is enter your VIN number, and it will immediately tell you if, A, there are any recalls on your motorcycle, and, B, if there are any programs in place for your motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Very good place to go. I've got it bookmarked for websites. Because I plan on running my bike at least once a quarter, once
mm-hmm.
every 6 months at the most, just to see if anything's going on. It's a good thing to know.
You know, well, I'm gonna go run mine, and I better not see that my bike was recalled over those pins after the guys up there at the Harley House told me there was no recall on it.
There you go. There you go.
So there's a way for me to check it now. I'll go look at it.
Yep.
And I'm
That's
not bashing
cool
Harley.
Website.
I love my Harley. Yeah. Yeah, for all you guys think I'm bashing Harley, I'm not doing that. I love my motorcycle. It's just sometimes people get, what would it be, greedy? I don't know.
Yeah, if somebody gets a wild hair up their ass and they want to cut a few pennies on production, and they do something stupid and it slips through.
Yeah,
and it can
well, man,
happen
I knew a guy,
to anything.
Yeah, man, I knew a guy that lost his dealership. He had a Chris-Craft dealership, Chris-Craft boats. He had a Chris-Craft dealership that his father had had for 50 years, and he lost the dealership because they were cheating on the data for the maintenance or the warranties,
mm.
the warranty work. They were cheating on the hours on the warranty work. They got caught. He lost his damn dealership.
When you get greedy, you become needy.
Yeah, and Mel, he's got a old boatyard out here by Lake Dallas, or he did. It's full of old Chris Crafts. And what he does, he sells them to people that want to refurbish them. It's projects that are beyond their scope.
Yeah.
You know, listen to that. And so that they end up buying them. They abandon them there because he gives them a place to work on it, and I think he charges them to keep it there. And then... So it's just
and then he puts a
he
lien
the
on
boats
them, right?
Back. He gets the boats back, and it just goes. He's been doing that the last 25 years, Mel. What he's been doing.
Never has to buy
any
inventory. He just recycles
exactly.
what he sold.
Hey, it's a good deal if you can get it. I mean,
hell yes.
The last time I went by there, there were boats that had been there 30 years.
Yeah.
big, large Chris Crafts. It's incredible.
Amazing.
I used to just laugh. Yeah, yeah. Well, with that, Mel, we'll end on the boat story.
Okay. Good
everybody.
Night, everybody.
Stay warm. Oh, it's going to be 80 degrees, I think, on Thursday. Wow, wow, wow.
Mm.
See you on bike night. Everybody have a great evening. Bye-bye.